some of this will be a little confounding for you, I'm just telling you now, because I'm going to actually speak to you from a moment. And that moment is not a stable place. We think of ourselves as stable. We think of ourselves as singular and individual beings, clear, distinct, and consistent. That's not true. The fact of the matter is that we follow we follow what we see, we follow what we feel, we follow what we think, and somewhere up and through there, things get pretty much out of hand. A time like right now, we may think would be one filled with abject boredom, but the fact of the matter is there's not very much boring about this time. We think that because we can't get out and roll around and show up everywhere and be a little party here and a little confrontation there, that we're missing something. But the fact of the matter is it's a pretty intense time. Now, one of the things that's been fairly intense for me is that there's one spot in which I have to sort of get over, let's say, my age. I'm just going to make a confession to everyone here. The fact of the matter is I'm having a very difficult time adapting to the proper identification and calling to my friends and neighbors and fellow congregants here. Here's an example of what goes on for me. I'm talking to you right now, and at the same time that I'm talking to you right now, I'm actually thinking about, well, quite frankly, something else that relates to what we're talking about right now. When I was a boy, and that brings up something for me too, which I will get back to in a second. I used to be fond of this little cartoon that would show up in one single square, kind of a big one. And it had a scene in it, like a little map, and there were a dotted line. It was a dotted line, and that dotted line would kind of roll around, and it would go this way, and it would kind of curl up and come back, and then at the end of the dotted line, there was either a little baby or a toddler. And if you looked along the dotted line, what you saw were all of these events that this child was getting into on the way from point A to point B. So at one point, he gets into the cat bowl and plays with the water. At another point, he's crawling along the edge of the railing on the porch outside, and you wonder, oh, who let that child do that? And then at another point, he's playing with something and everything is very simple. And then in the next instant, he's talking to the neighbor's dog, et cetera, et cetera. And at the end, at the final end, there's something that the child's doing there. This is the path. What is being illustrated here was the path that this child had taken from wherever it started to the point that we see it at the end. And all of the different things that this child had gone through. The baby or the toddler at the end of this little journey, perfectly happy. We, in looking at it every once in a while, were startled or frightened. What's a child doing crawling along the banister of a porch rail? That can't end well. But the child didn't know that and went on and finally gets to the end of its, I don't know that it actually gets to the end of its run. It just gets to the point that we see at the end of this little map. This is the kind of path our mind takes many, many, many times a day. And one could look at that and say that as we go on these wanderings, we're not being present. But that's not necessarily true. the fact of the matter is we are probably being present in a moment. Not necessarily the moment that everybody else in the room thinks you should be tuned into. And the fact that we're trying to struggle between those 2 points or three or more points is what really kind of tears us apart in a way. For example, I said earlier that I had this experience when I was a boy, and I said that brought something up for me, and I would come back to it. What it brought up for me was a moment that I remembered where I was with my parents, and we were not in Chicago at the time. We were somewhere on the road. I remember this because there was something about the word boy that lit up in the moment, and it caused a certain energy to move through the space at that time, which was really disconcerting to me. I don't know if it was first disconcerting to me or disconcerting to my parents, and that I picked that up. My father was talking to an older man. The man was very, very, very light-skinned. He was like white or pink or something like that. And he had white hair. And he had on a cap or a hat or something that was tilted, kind of funny on his head. I remember that because I thought, like, that's kind of funny the way his hat is tilted. And I looked at my mother, and my mother was kind of concerned. She seemed nervous. Nervous is a word I would use now. At that time, I just thought, something ain't right. Brown's not liking this. And there's something going on between this man and my father. Now, what I will tell you is that at that time in my life, we would travel from Chicago to New Orleans, run, basically go upstream on the Great Migration, and go back to the waters that spawned us in the first place. And rarely did we have any problem with that. But every once in a while, some kind of interesting challenge arose, as is wont to do when we travel from point A to point B. In hindsight, from here, I look back to that then there. And what I realized was going on now at this time was that man probably addressed my father as boy. And what kind of reminds me and brings this to some clarity in my mind is I remember that there was a little water fountain faucet or something that was at my level. And then there was a higher one, a taller one, that was more like a water fountain, the kind that you turn the handle, you know, and you sip from the water as it comes out. And I know in hindsight what I'm seeing with that which I could not read at the time. And that was that the tall water fountain said white only, and the short water fountain said colored. Something may have happened. I don't remember what. Maybe my mother thought that the bottom one was dirty and was filthy, and she may have lifted me to drink from the top one. Whereupon my father was confronted and instructed that his son should not be drinking from that fountain. So even to this day, there are times when I hear the word boy come up, and it rings a whole lot of things in my mind really fast, go through. So we're not simple. We're not as simple as we might like to be. We're not as simple as we might want to be. In any given moment, when something comes up, I brought more to the table. When I think about that moment, I bring more to the table than one would need to deal with whatever it is in the moment where the word boy came up. Not a simple thing for me. It's connected to a lot. But I also realize that's not necessarily so for the other person who's actually in this moment with me now. They're bringing their own baggage to this moment. And when we do that, and we bring all of those things from outside to the now, we may not actually be dealing with people in the present. Now, I'm going to give you all a moment of present. Is there anyone here who does not understand what I'm saying right now? Don't be embarrassed. Just do like this and raise your hand. No. Okay, so we seem to be pretty close to the now right now. So what I'm saying is that I am not as simple as I would like to be in any given moment. But neither are you. Neither is anyone here. So in an instant, when you say this or that thing, it means one thing to you, and it may not mean that to me. Now, if you were to say to me, oh boy, Marsh, you need to pick that up. Let's just say, perchance, in that moment, my mind goes back to that moment at that particular place, which was somewhere on a road between Chicago and New Orleans. And where you are in the South, by the way, is not simple either. Because being stopped at a water fountain in Mississippi is very different than being in New Orleans. NOLA and Mississippi, not the same place. Chicago, NOLA and Mississippi, not the same place. What people mean when they say something in one of those places is radically different from what they mean in another place. Sometimes those people do not mean you well. And sometimes it's not an issue or concern at all for me to draw a conclusion about what you're saying to me now based on my whole past might not serve either of us. I don't necessarily know what you mean by it. Some of you here wouldn't necessarily know what it meant if someone called me by a different name in a different place while you were with me. I might understand it differently than you do. We are not as simple as we'd like to be sometimes. We bring a lot. And therefore, misunderstandings are right. They are bound to happen. It's not maybe it could happen. You almost need to consider anytime anyone says almost anything to you that you should maybe take into consideration for just an instant, you may not know what they mean or what they're talking about. Now, I deal with this a lot. As you all know, I'm a therapist in my other life. And one of the things that's constant is the difference and distinction between one person's experience and another person's experience, even after they've been with each other for 30 years. Michelle and I have been married for 30 years. We've known each other for quite a bit longer than that. We had a funny idea, I think, one day, and that funny idea was instead of marrying somebody that you don't know very well and then working it through, why not actually join with someone that you know is your friend and has been a friend of yours for like a decade or two? That might be an interesting thing to do. So we did that. But you know what? We still have misunderstandings. We still have disagreements about things. And I don't know, somehow we still manage to enjoy each other's company enough to stay with it. Right now, I'm not even able to be around Michelle, but I got to tell you, I'm very happy for who she's being right now. I know she's doing very well in her life, and she's excelling in new areas and whatnot. even at this distance. But we will still have misunderstanding. What I do that helps me with that is that because we have something that would be akin to our covenant, we have vows, for example, that we've taken with each other. And what some of those vows boil down to is, before I assume you mean me harm, I'm going to assume that you actually don't and that you mean me well. Yes, it's an assumption. But you know what? It's right pretty much most of the time. I could hit it the total other way. I could say, I know that what you said just now was intended to hurt me. But actually, statistically, that would be not true most of the time. And if it were, I guess that would be true. I would need to find, or she would need to find, a different fear to inhabit. But we stumble along in that way, and we make mistakes day by day. And we have a little game we play, which is, let's see which one of us can get off this quicker. Which one of us can get off it? You understand what I mean by that? You know what I mean when I say, oh my God, I was so on it that day. Right? But just get off it. And which one of us can do that quicker? That's a little game we play. So any of you that are in like relationships and you want to play an interesting game, when you get into one of those moments and this person is really getting on your nerves and you wonder, why did I do this? See how fast you can get off of that. See which one of you can do it quicker. And by the way, when you win that race, you don't get to go like, yay, I got off it quicker and you were still pissed off. No, let it go. Really get off. Okay? Being able to track those things in yourself is an important thing for someone like myself and in my line of work. I'm an empath. One of the problems with empaths is sometimes you pick up a feeling, you pick up a thought. It's not your thought. It's not your feeling. It's the person you're with. It's somebody else's. It's the other guy's thought or feeling. And so you have to be able to actually pay enough attention inside yourself to know this is me. This is not them. But in order to do that, you actually have to get back in your body, you have to get back into your breath, you have to get back into knowing which what's you and what maybe is not you. And the part of it that's not you, you don't know what's going on there. We think we know what's going on there. But for the past 2 years, I've been saying, for example, talk to the other. Whoever the capital T, capital O, other is, and we always have one. Or two, or three, or more.
My point is that one reason that we kind of slide, we go down that path like that, and we don't realize that we don't know what the other is actually going through. We don't know really what's going on in their minds, and we don't bother to ask because we're much more clever than that. We're smarter than all of that, you see. But if you were to actually ask, many of those times, the beginning of what they say might make sense and would fit with what we think, but if they go on for a little while, you will find that we don't always know what's on our partner's mind. We don't always know where they're coming from. And it might make a difference to differentiate and realize like, okay, here's me being present instead of me kind of spinning off and going on that little trail is to just stop and check. And even stop and check sometimes out in the world where you think you know what this person said or what they meant. Don't call the cops on them right away. Find out what they're up to. Find out what they're doing. Even if they're the other to you. And that, my friend, is a challenge. That's a challenge of being present in that moment. Being present and in the moment is challenging even for the enlightened. I happened to witness that at a point. So, when you think you know what's going on, take a moment, tune in, get out of the past, and get into the present. Do the tough thing. Be creative. Do the tough thing. Ask a question. Do the tough thing. Relate to the other human being. As far as time is concerned, our species has not been here that long. So as far as time is concerned, we may or may not be here for a while more. But if we're going to even entertain that idea, we have really, really got to find a way to all live together in this tiny blue-green boat whizzing at an unimaginable speed through a void, a sea that's far beyond our imagination. And just get present and pay attention to being here on this world with these people, as flawed as we are, as best we can. And it's true. Sometimes it's okay to find new people. Be good to each other. Ashe.